Do you know, life is full of many questions. Many people today have questions in their mind. Questions about life. Questions about the purpose of life. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Surely there's got to be something more than this. But you know, the Bible is also full of questions. The Bible is full of important questions, individual questions, inescapable questions. Do you know what a question we have this morning in God's precious word? Genesis chapter 24, verse 58. Look at this question. It says, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go." Do you know, when I was a boy growing up, my sisters used to watch a television program on a Saturday night. And I think my mom also watched it. We only had one TV in those days, and my brother and me, we were younger, we had to endure this program because my sisters liked to watch it. It was called Blind Date. I'm sure you all remember it. In fact, some people didn't go out on a Saturday night because they wanted to watch Blind Date. You'll all remember the show was presented by a lady called Cilla Black, and she was attempting to set up couples on a date. And perhaps, if it went well, eventual marriage. Sometimes it was a match made in heaven, as they would say, or sometimes it was a completely wrong choice, and it would never work out. And you know, there's always been something that has interested us about romance. Do you know, novels have been written about romance, films have been produced, television programs have been made, all about romance. And you know, the story that we've read in God's precious word this morning is about romance. Abraham was 140 years of age by this time, and he was nearing the end of his earthly pilgrimage. And Abraham was concerned that Isaac, his 40-year-old son, would have a bride. And you know, as the story relates, Abraham called his trusted servant to send him to the land of his birth, the city of Mesopotamia. And you know, it was a great commission that Abraham's servant had. It was a great task. It was an important assignment. "But thou shalt go unto my country," verse 4 of Genesis chapter 24 says, "and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." What a wonderful assignment Abraham's servant had. Do you know, this morning as I preach to you in Drumrea, I've come this morning with a great commission from my master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have come this morning to get a bride for Jesus Christ, to tell the folks in Drumrea that Jesus saves, that Jesus satisfies, that his blood washes whiter than snow. What a privilege it is this morning to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in Drumrea. But you know, before Abraham's servant reached the city of Mesopotamia, before he encountered this bride called Rebekah, before he met Rebekah's family, before he would bring her home for Isaac, do you know what Abraham's servant done? This is a little lesson for the Christian this morning. He prayed. We see this in verse 11. It says, "And he made the camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to water." Verse 12 says, "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." Don't you see what's happening here in this passage? Abraham's servant realizes that prayer is vital. If Abraham's servant was to be successful in finding a bride for Isaac, he needed to pray. Do you know, if we're to be successful in finding a bride for Jesus Christ in Ballymoney, wherever you're from this morning, if we're ever as God's people, if we're ever to be up to the task of winning souls for Jesus, we need to pray. You know what the Bible says concerning prayer? We're to pray without ceasing. You know, the Bible also says that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What about the verse that says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, I love this verse. You know, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, it was lovely this morning just to be out in the outer room there this morning, listening to brothers and sisters, faithful prayer warriors, praying before the service, holding up the preacher's hand in prayer. Do you know this morning, much prayer equals much blessing. Little prayer equals little blessing. No prayer equals no blessing. Do you know what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today? Fervent praying, persistent praying, faithful praying, burdened praying. You know, God's work is always done in the prayer meeting. Praying for our loved ones, praying for our family, praying for our community. Do you know Abraham's servant needed guidance? Do you know he took time out of his busy schedule, his busy journey, and just outside the city walls, just before he came to Mesopotamia, it says he knelt down. Maybe I'm speaking to someone this morning in God's house. Maybe you're at a crossroads experience in your life. You don't know what to do. You have an important issue to face. You're at a crossroads experience in your life. And you need the Lord's guidance this morning. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, God's servant, God leads Abraham's servant to Rebekah. God also directs Abraham's servant to Rebekah's family. Do you know this morning, if you're saved today, you have nothing to fear when you're walking in the perfect will of God. God's will is always the safest place to be. And the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will never keep you. Thank God as well as sovereign, as well as always perfect. You know, Rebekah's brother, Rebekah's mother puts this profound question to Rebekah. It's on the screen here, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. First of all, I want to think this morning some thoughts from God's precious word. The first thing we want to think about is Rebekah's consideration. Rebekah's consideration. Can you imagine the thoughts that were going through Rebekah's head? What was she going to do? You know, perhaps Rebekah said to herself, you know, I need to think about this. You know, I need to consider this. This is a decision that will affect the rest of my life. Rebekah had never set her eyes on Isaac in her whole life. Rebekah knew nothing about Isaac. All Rebekah had was the word of Abraham's faithful servant. And you know, Abraham's servant sets out to persuade Rebekah and her family. How does he do that? Do you know, Abraham's servant sets out before Rebekah the greatness of Isaac's father, Abraham. The greatness of Isaac's father Abraham is really a process of persuasion. And in verse 34 of our chapter, this is what Abraham's servant said. He said, I'm Abraham's servant. And he says, the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men service and camels and asses. Abraham's servant tries to persuade Rebekah. Do you know, if you're not a Christian this morning, how could I persuade you to come to Jesus Christ? I tell you, it would have great difficulty. Do you know, it's almost an impossible task I have this morning. You see, my English comprehension, my English vocabulary could never adequately describe to you the greatness of my God, the greatness of my Master, my Father, my Savior, Jesus Christ. He made the stars to shine. He made the rolling sea. He made the mountains high, and He made me, and that's why I love Him. For me, He bled and died. The Lord of all creation became the crucified. Oh, this morning, my God, my Father, my Master, do you know He owns the cattle on a thousand hills? All His silver and gold are mine. All His riches are my riches. I'm an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Listen this morning, Jesus. Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all we need. Do you know what the Bible says? I have not seen nor ear have heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. How could I persuade you to come to Jesus Christ this morning if you don't know Him? And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. You know, we're saved this morning. We can say, how great Thou art. Oh, this morning we need to get our eyes on the cross. See the sacrifice. See the atonement. He's paid in full. See the substitution. He took our place. See the redemption. We've been bought back from the slave market of sin. What a salvation. What a sacrifice. What a Savior. Do you know, when I was a young boy, just 8 years of age, I remember watching on television a scene that I'll never forget. It was a scene of two British soldiers. This was live on TV. Two British soldiers, one was called Corporal Wood and the other was called Corporal House. Do you know, they had driven into a funeral in West Belfast. And watching live on TV, we all saw an angry mob surrounded the car and there was no way out. In fact, animals would have been treated better. You know, as we watched live on TV, their bodies were mutilated, their bodies were abused. They were put in a taxi. They were driven less than 200 yards to waste ground where they were shot dead. Do you know, in the inquiry from that terrible atrocity, said that Derek Wood was hit 2 times in the head, 4 times in the chest, stabbed 4 times in the back of his head. David House was shot 5 times, once in the head, 4 times in the body. And as a small child, I remember the revulsion, the horrification, the shock, the terror in our province, watching the murder of those two soldiers on TV. Never be forgotten, and neither it should be. But you know, this morning, as we think about the sacrifice of our Savior, lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget Thine agony, lest we forget His thorn-crowned brow, lead us to Calvary. My Savior was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. By His stripes, we are healed. Do you know, as we consider the sufferings of Jesus Christ this morning, you know what the Bible says about Christ? His visage was marred more than any man. No one suffered like Jesus. He was unrecognizable. He was put to shame on a cross. Why did Jesus suffer such pain? Why did Jesus suffer such agony? Because He loves you this morning. Because He died to save you. Will you go with this man Christ Jesus? Rebecca's consideration, but something else this morning. We want to think about Rebecca's call. Wilt thou go with this man? You see this call that Rebekah heard from Abraham's servant? Well, why, it was a call of faith. It was a call of faith. You see, if Rebekah was to answer this call, it would be a great step of faith. You see, Rebekah would have to be satisfied that such a person as Isaac actually existed. Do you know all Rebekah had was Abraham's servant word? But you know, isn't that how we're saved this morning? It's a step of faith. It's putting your hand into the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. It's believing what God has said concerning his son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Rebekah was able to depend on the word of Abraham's servant. My dear man this morning, if you're gathered in God's house, my dear woman this morning, if you're in God's house and you're not saved, you can depend on God. You can depend on the word of God. This book is God's book. I believe it's the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And you know, as I speak to people in my ministry in Ballybean and other places, and you know, we challenge people today about being saved. You know, they say, well, you know, someday, someplace, somewhere, somehow, I hope to be saved, but not this morning. And if you engage them a little bit further, it's as if they're waiting for something to happen. Maybe it's flashing lights or fireworks or an electric shock. But you know, that's not how the Lord operates today. You know, the Lord just saves in the ordinary run of life. He saves in a meeting like this on a Sunday morning. You know, I've known people who were saved in their own home. I was saved in my own bedroom as a little boy. I've known people who were saved just sitting in their car. You know, there's other people I meet and they say, well, you know, Joseph, I need proof. I need proof. I need to see it. Perhaps if someone came back from the dead, I would believe it. Listen, this morning, someone has come back from the dead. His name is Jesus. You know, they couldn't hold him in the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Oh, as a step of faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Rebekah just had the word of Abraham's servant, but you know, it was enough. It was more than enough. Wilt thou go with this man? You know, Rebekah's call, not only was it a call of faith, but it was a call to forsake. A call to forsake. You see, if Rebekah was to go with Abraham's servant to be a bride for Isaac, she would have to leave her mother. She would have to leave her brother. She would have to leave her family. She would have to leave all to be a bride for Isaac. You know, Rebekah felt the influence of her family. Rebekah felt the pull of her family. You know, if you study this passage, Rebekah's family didn't want her to go. They wanted her to delay. They wanted her to stay. They wanted her to change her mind. Look at verse 55. It says, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. Do you know, if you went to the original, into the Hebrew, and this passage into the original, it was more like a 1 year and 10 months that they wanted her to delay. They wanted to keep hold of her. They wanted her to procrastinate. Do you know, isn't that like God's salvation today? You know, men and women today, they hear the claims of Christ in their life. Maybe today you know that you need to be saved. But you know, all the powers of hell propose delay. Don't rush into deciding for Jesus Christ. Wait a little longer. Surely you have plenty of time. Then we get concerned. What will our family think? If I went home and told my wife, if I went home and told my husband, I got saved, what would they think? What would my work colleagues think if I became a Christian? What would my neighbors think if I became a Christian? Will I go with this man? Rebekah's consideration, Rebekah's call. Here's my last point this morning. Rebekah's consent. Rebekah's consent. Do you know what she says? I will go. Rebecca had thought about it. She had weighed it up. She had counted the cost. She was persuaded in her very being, it was enough. I will go. I'm going to go. You know, this morning I presented to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've had time to consider it. You've had time to think about it. Now, what's your answer this morning? Jesus Christ, he's able to save. Jesus Christ, he's willing to save. He will save you instantly. He will save you eternally. He will save you now. What's your choice this morning? Do you know the gospel of Jesus Christ always demands a verdict? Will you say yes to Jesus? Yes to God's way of salvation? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Oh, today God's salvation is real. Jesus Christ really saves. But listen this morning, God's salvation also works. You know, the gospel I believe in not only saves precious souls, the gospel I preach not only puts people on the road to heaven, the gospel also heals broken marriages. The gospel also breaks many addictions and many sinful vices in their lives. Do you know what the Bible says? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for